can serve up the dessert this morning. That's my goal here in the next few minutes. And I hope you've got room for it. Do you have room for it? I appreciate your hospitality. Oh, throw me that jersey right there. Our Antoine Green, number 3. He's a Detroit Lion now. Yeah, he got drafted in the NFL draft. Congratulations, Antoine, if you're watching. We love you. So my Ben said, now I'm a Lions fan. I don't know. We used to like the Panthers, but no, I can't leave my Panthers. But that's exciting, and I just believe the Lord wants to speak to us all.
Come on.
Because you have an inheritance from Abraham.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me? You have an inheritance from Abraham. This is what I was talking about last week. And in Genesis 18, it says this, and Kathy, you can start making your way up here. It says, and the Lord said to Abraham, I think this is 18:10, Genesis 18:10. I'm not sure if I put it on the screen. Why did Sarah laugh? Ha! I'm going to make the NFL. That's funny, Lord. Ha! I'm going to be someone of influence. Okay, that's kind of funny. Just me? You know, in some contexts you can relate. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I shall bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, everybody said the appointed time. At the appointed time, I will return to you, the Lord said, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Amen.
On Wednesday night, if you weren't here, a guest speaker from India named Thomas Cherian, a very powerful prophetic man, prophetic voice. He just kept saying through a translator over and over, no longer Chronos, Kairos. If some people might have gone home confused, like, what is this Chronos and Kairos? I had to Google it. I had somebody tell me that. And that's okay. Chronos is chronological. Kairos, Philip Nordman describes it this way. A Kairos moment is God's appointed time to act. A Kairos moment is a moment in time when the Holy Spirit draws near to do a special work in and through a person or a group of people.
Amen.
And that's where we're at this morning as a people, as a church. The Holy Spirit creates and orchestrates Kairos moments.
Amen.
He referred to Romans 9:9 and of this that I just read, which is referring to Genesis 18. And the Holy Spirit was telling us on Wednesday, River Life, you are now in a Kairos time, an appointed time. So I asked Kathy to come up here and just take a few minutes and share what she felt like as she was writing down this whole word. Come on up here, Kathy. Don't give her a hand. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Tell us.
When you tell Matthew that you are painstakingly transcribing all that, just realize it might end you up here. But I feel like the Lord has.
Well, just give us the highlights.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to redo it. I promise. But I wrote it down so I wouldn't.
I know you did.
All right. Michael started us off with that because he said that this is a meeting. We're talking about expectation today.
Yeah.
And I believe on Wednesday night that he injected us with expectation.
Come on. Yes.
And so I left and I wanted to just mine for gold nuggets.
Yeah.
And there was not only gold nuggets, there's gold dust all in that.
Shabbat.
And, you know, basically all the prophets that speak to us on a regular basis were talking about what he was saying. Mm-hmm. He came and he confirmed those words on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're breaking through because this is those words, appointed time.
Amen.
And so if you've had words spoken over you, or if you've been moved in a certain way in the worship services, just understand there was a declaration that was set off like a bomb.
Woo!
In this room that said that appointed time is now.
Yeah.
It felt to me like that angelic choir that broke through the veil on that night when Jesus was born, that announced, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Yeah.
And of course, what happened is the shepherds were set to running to see the manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is our response. But he gave us some specific words for people and our church and all of our hearing. We all heard it. And so we all have our expectations shifted, not only for River Life, but for those individuals
mm-hmm.
that words are spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, they had timing attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, even this morning, he was speaking about some timing attached to words that were released, amounts that were attached. And so just like God, he spoke to Sarah. Now, he'd been telling Abraham all this time, the promise is coming, the promise is coming, the promise is coming.
Right.
But then, in his kindness, he came to Sarah and said, in a year, I'll be back. And you're going to have it manifested in your life. So no longer is it a belief or a promise. It literally manifested on the earth. And so that is what we received on Wednesday night. It was not a promise. Just a promise, if you want to call that ever just a promise. It was a declaration that he is about to appear on the earth. And his promises, dreams, and prayers, and the prayers that we've been responding to, will be manifest because God does not forget. He doesn't forget. But and so some of us have been waiting. He doesn't forget, but he does have an appointed time. And so we got an announcement that that time is now. On the surface, here we are. It looks like here we are all. Y'all are up there worshiping. Looks like nothing's changed, but everything has changed. And in case we missed that, this morning he shifted our atmosphere and we felt it. And we paused. And it basically, he wanted us to know, I really meant it. I'm confirming what I did Wednesday night by you being able to tangibly experience a different atmosphere. Some of the things he said, the owner of this time is God, not us. He's the author and the finisher. He's the giver of the dreams. And he's the finisher and the fulfiller of those dreams. That was one of the clear messages he was getting across to us. He kept saying, this is God's time, not your time. You're here in the times of God. And I'm quoting, no matter the failures of your time, his time is before our time. It's going to be very successful, victorious, with big changes happening. You may think, my time is over. But the Lord's time is going to manifest in your time. And he used Philip in John 14:9 when he was saying, just show us the Father. Jesus, just show us the Father. And he said, Philip, don't you know me? All this time I've been with you. And so Prophet Cherian was saying to us, don't you know? I've been with you all this time. But Chronos is changing to Kairos time. Leave all your other thoughts. You're going to see some things that you've never recognized in your life before.
Let's go.
And so he was telling us over and over that God is the primary actor and we are the responder. And so in each person that he called out, he called them to prayer. Each person. And he was saying over and over, God is going to do. God is going to shift. I mean, and he would obviously say more. But God is going to do such and such. God is going to shift such and such. God is making you into. God chose you and you can't change that. God is leading you. God is going to lift you. God is going to change your voice. Every action was initiated by God. So Chronos is no longer. Kairos is here. And our response, he admonished us. Let him lead us. Take the opportunities that open up before us. Do not murmur or give yourself over to unbelief. Pray, pray, pray. And then do not waste your time. Do not worry about the time you've already lost. God will do greater things in the time you have left. Leave the past behind. Let go of the past, the failures, the old thoughts. Step into what God leads you and shows you. Pick up those old dreams you thought were dead and impossible. Brush them off. God gives dreams and He fulfills them.
Yes.
The dreams that come from Jesus never fail. And I love this. Your problems are not big. The Lord is the big one.
Come on.
Yeah. So,
the Lord is the big one.
Yeah. And so he said the importance of prayer throughout is prayer produces passion, prayer produces power, and prayer produces provision. So that's my trip report. Now, I do want to say, that was my mining report. I'm sifting. This is my summary. About an hour and a half.
I know, right?
I did find, I don't know if you're like me, but sitting here, I found myself repenting throughout the evening of acting like Philip. Just show me the Father, Jesus.
Wow.
Where's the promise? Abraham asked the question.
Yeah.
Just answer my dreams and resolve all the situations in my life that are not aligned with your kingdom yet. I mean, I think we've all, but I found myself repenting of that.
Wow.
And so I do believe he left us with a choice. And we have a choice today, too. He challenged us.
Yeah.
And Tiffany challenged us this morning. Do we believe this declaration to us? And will we agree that God's appointed time of visitation has come and is now manifesting? That the belief...
Come on.
Will actually turn into seeing and holding our Isaacs. Will we go running like the shepherds toward the announcements and toward the opportunities when they show up? Or are we just going to continue on the same path with that dogged, determined nation, that double down determination to just see it through and tough it out? We have to have the courage enough to be able to believe this announcement that God's appointed Kairos time is here, and we've got to lean into it, we've got to respond to the opportunities, and we have to let it happen. And so that's my book report.
Man, that's good.
That's a good report. Kathy's such a perceptive person. It wasn't just because you were writing it down, Kathy. It's just you have this perception, and a lot of people in this room know what I'm talking about, to be able to explain it. And every week when I'm having a conversation with her, I'm like, well, that is so deep. Can you please just reflect on this? Because I think one of the importance of the prophetic word is to remember. Is to remember and to recount. And so as a people, we need to remember, we need to reflect, we need to hear what God's saying.
Yeah, I keep hearing numbers this morning. As Kathy was sharing that, I heard the Lord say, revisit your promises. And it was like he was reminding us to revisit or go back in our journals. And specifically, I heard promises that have been prophesied in the past 8 years. And to just go back into those promises and sit before the Lord and ask, which of these promises are for such a time as this?
That's good.
And allow for hope deferred to just spring off, and allow for hope to fill you with expectation for this Kairos time.
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. Oh, that's good. That's how long I've been in Chapel Hill, 8 years, so that's easy. I got a lot of journals. Thank you, Lord. I believe here's what the Holy Spirit wants to focus on. I'm going to stay disciplined with this in the time remaining for this Kairos season, is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's inheritance is not complete without you.
Amen.
What God prophesied to Abraham was that your descendants shall be, and tap your neighbor and say, you one of those. You're one of those descendants. And our God is a promise keeper. Ephesians 3:4 says this, as you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his apostles and prophets.
Let's consider this in the big picture, not just individual apostles or prophets, but the apostolic prophetic anointing upon God's people from Abraham. Verse 6 of Ephesians 3, and this is God's plan that both Gentiles and Jews, it's interesting this prayer, time of season of prayer and fasting, who believe the good news share equally in what? In the riches inherited by God's children. You see the inheritance there. This is what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus about. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. It's a blessing for a benefit of the glory of God.
Come on.
You see, whatever you can find in Abraham is yours by the Spirit of God if you want it. Go back, starting in Genesis 12, and read through the life of Abraham. This is your assignment today. That teacher's coming out at me. I got to give some homework. Go into Genesis 12 and begin to read through the life of Abraham and just say, God, what in here is mine? What have you given me? What is an inheritance in a bank account? Not financially. I just mean your spiritual account. What have you in store for me? Is it land?
Yeah.
Is it property? Is it finances? Is it family? We know it's righteousness.
Yeah.
Accounted as righteous because of his faith. First of all, if it's the apostle and prophet's responsibility to equip us, the church, to do the work. Oh, I skipped something. Here's what I wanted to read. I finished with Ephesians 3:6, but consider a few verses later in the next chapter of Ephesians. And this was the letter to the Ephesians. The Ephesians, by the way, you might recollect, was the first church to experience a major outpouring of the Spirit of God since Pentecost. This is about 15 years later into the book of Acts. You can find that in Acts 19. But in the next, a few verses later after what we just read, it says, now these are the gifts Jesus Christ, Jesus gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, as a micro example, that's why we've seen so many people on this platform this morning. From worship leaders to grandmothers and teachers to elders to people coming up and giving prophetic words. To a lot of things are going to shift in this season.
Yeah.
The nameless, faceless generation is arising.
Come on.
And Kathy, as you were talking about repenting, I felt myself repenting for, like, God, where is revival? And the Lord says, revival is right here.
Yeah.
It's like, where is the kingdom? Oh, the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Yeah.
Where is the next move of God? The next move of God is right there. The next move of God is right here. Allow it to come from within you.
Yes, God.
But see, it's not just going to be a me thing. It's going to be a we.
It's a we.
It's going to be all of us together going up the mountain of God. That was his desire from the beginning. So first of all, it's the apostle prophet's responsibility to equip the church to do the work. Everybody say the work.
The work.
Don't think laborious work. Don't think hard work. Think you get to do it. You get to do it, to do the work, then the apostolic prophetic anointing is available to all of us to some degree. Secondly, the apostolic and prophetic are an anointing Jesus had that he passed to the 12. Remember, go about. They came back. Then how many more after that? Luke 10, he sent out the 70. The 70 went out. Who were they? They were just people. They weren't the big 12. They were just people. They came back dumbfounded, like, you wouldn't believe it. He goes, yeah, I know. While you were healing the sick and casting out devils, I saw Satan fall like lightning over here. And then what happened in Acts chapter 2? The baton got passed to all y'all.
All y'all.
It's like Caroline, Chapel Hill against all y'all. I love that t-shirt. Jamar, you don't like that one so much, but you can fit your team into that. Tar Heels against all y'all. It got the baton got passed on to all y'all. So what we're gleaning from our inheritance, from our heavenly account, last week we were talking about righteousness in Christ of utmost importance. We were talking about the land thing and family. And here are a few other practical things real quick. I got about 5 minutes. We've inherited from Abraham. First of all, an apostolic calling. Genesis 12:1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Go where? Go to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. Why did he want to bless Abraham and make him famous? Not because so he could be an influencer or just that. He wanted to make him famous because the name of Yahweh would be made famous through Abraham.
Yeah.
Like, I just declare over Antoine that anointing, that inheritance over you, Twan.
Yeah.
And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. See, we're all the families. That verse we just read, all the families. Are you here with your family? You're one of the families. You're blessed through our forefather Abraham. I feel like the Lord says sometimes you have to leave something in order for God to establish a covenant of blessing with you.
Yeah, prophesy.
So, like, for example, Genesis 2:24, a man shall leave his father and mother and what? Be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife, come on guys, finds a good thing and takes favor from the Lord. But what did you have to do? You had to leave mama's basement. You know, you had to leave the house in order to cleave to your wife, and you found favor, you found a blessing.
Come on.
It's not necessarily physically leaving something because everybody can't leave this church. Okay, please, God. Some will. I get it. Not necessarily physically leaving something. Often you need to spiritually or emotionally leave something behind.
Come on.
Let the Holy Spirit go to meddling now inside of you. What do you want me to leave, Holy Spirit? Some may, others may not. Some may, you may not. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to leave that behind. Come on now, I got a blessing for you. It's mindset. Sometimes it requires moving. We left behind our beautiful farmhouse we designed and built, our beloved church in Mooresville, because God said, I want to establish a place for my presence in Chapel Hill. What a blessing! It's all y'all. All the families in Genesis 12:3 includes your family sitting here today if you believe it, if you will lean into it, if you will ask the Father to reveal his inheritance to you today. You see, the word apostle simply means sent one. To some degree and in some way, we have all been called out of darkness and into his glorious light. You see, we left it. We left something behind. The Great Commission, as my preacher used to say, is not the great suggestion. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Now, go. G-O. It says go.
Go.
You see, that's an apostolic call to all the church.
Come on.
I know that word is tricky. I once saw the sign around town and it had this church that said, an apostolic church. I'm like, I don't know what that means. What is an apostolic church? I don't know what it means for them. But I'm just saying, for us biblically from Abraham, think of when Abraham was in Mesopotamia and God said, now leave.
Leave
Mesopotamia and come up the Euphrates, went through Haran and on to Canaan. That is the beginning of an apostolic thing. It's sent once, it's going. We get that from Abraham. Number two, a prophetic anointing.
Come on.
Genesis 15:1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision. Genesis 15:1, and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." Now let me skip down to verse 12. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. A terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." I'm going fast, but what's God talking to Abraham about? He's talking about his family four generations later.
Come on.
Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was that one who became a prince in Egypt. You remember? And because of the favor upon his life, God saved the whole clan alive from starvation. They end up, but then a Pharaoh arose who did not remember Joseph. And he said, "These Hebrews are breeding like crazy. What should we do?" And so they became slaves for over 400 years. But God showed that to Abraham. It's not always good news, but there's a prophetic anointing upon this man that we wouldn't necessarily think of as like a prophet. Yeah, I believe what God has for us as a people is just like we practiced this morning. We call, you know, "I believe Sarah Hee, God has this for you," or whatever. As the Lord begins to increase that anointing, there's going to be tremendous favor and tremendous power. The authority of heaven, as descendants from Abraham. Number three, you're going to like this one. Fame, finances, and wealth.
Come on.
I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I do believe that God has a purpose. And if I can just talk to you about your finances for a minute, just briefly, ask God. Say, "God, where would you have me to partner with you in my finances? Where would you have me to invest and to sow? What exactly?" I think this is really key, and it could be a little different for each person or for each family. But this is a really important part of what God wants to do in the season, even if it's $10 or a little amount. The amount is not the point, because our finances are a reflection of our heart.
Yes.
And God wants us to leave some things and begin to sow into others.
Come on.
See, prosperity for a purpose. After the covenant God made with Abraham, he became extremely prosperous. This is part of your inheritance as his children too. For him, it was so that all the nations would be blessed. For us, it's that our city would be blessed. Many in this church will prosper. Next, I'm almost done. Healing.
Yes.
Healing's a big part of this. Think about it. What had to happen in order for the promise of Abraham and Sarah to even begin?
A womb.
A womb had to be healed. And if I'm reading it correctly, Sarah was beyond the age. This was miraculous. There had to be a major healing take place in order for this to even be possible.
Come on.
Then later on, Abraham prayed for Abimelech's wife, who was in a similar situation, to receive the same healing. And guess what? She did. Freely you've received, now freely give away.
Come on.
This is the power of the rerouting, a creative miracle in Kathy's life.
Yes.
It's like, find every heart issue out there by the grace of God and pray for that. Declare it over people. Healing. Number five, friendship with the Father. Finally, this is the greatest honor and privilege of them all. This is the greatest gold nugget in our heavenly bank account. This is the greatest privilege of our inheritance, is to be called. Jesus said in John 16, "I didn't just call you servants, but I've called you
friends,
a friend of God." James 2:23, "And so it happened, just as the scripture said, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God." That's powerful. I mean, think about the weight of that. this man that we see this painting of here on the screen, he wasn't just a soldier in the army of the Lord. He wasn't just a worker or just a servant at the door. He entered in and found something unique.
Yes.
Something that no one had ever experienced before. Even before the new covenant, he became a friend of God. You remember how God showed up in his tent? There were three of them. I still don't know exactly who that was. I believe one of them was a pre-incarnate Jesus, but I don't have 100% text. There's a lot of different thoughts on that out there. But whatever the case is, God had enough in his Kairos moment to show up. I think maybe as the Trinity right there with Abraham. And that's our inheritance. You guys stand up with me. I appreciate your patience and your kindness. And I just think these 2 hours were well worth it. I mean, I'm about to spend 3 hours watching my Warriors win game 7. But anyway, I think these 2 hours were really, in all seriousness, really well worth it because a deposit was made in our spirits. If we can grab a hold of it. And so I just want to seal that in prayer right now. God, we just thank you right here.
Yeah.
In the abundance of our hearts, your word says that the mouth speaks. So Lord, we just declare that you are good, that you are faithful. God, even in every disappointment, you've been there. In every fear and distressing situation that people are going through right now, Lord, you are there. You are the fourth man in the fiery furnace, God. You are right there in the middle of our situation. In every pain, in every conflict, in every relational difficulty, you are there. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this time to cross over this morning. We just thank you for this time to step into our inheritance. And I pray by your Spirit that you will reveal your plans and purposes to each individual in this room and those not with us watching online. Reveal their inheritance from their father Abraham. We just thank you for that, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you go, one quick thing. Do y'all remember evangelist Richie Seltzer?
Yeah.
He came here last July from Global Awakening, Randy Clark's ministry. And so we're starting tomorrow. We got a lot of these things going on right now. We're starting a 30-day gospel challenge.
Come on.
And the challenge, if you dare to receive it, is to share the gospel every day for 30 days, May 1st through the 31st.
Come on.
And so Richie put together a Facebook group where he's going to post a video every morning that'll be something like, hey, today, go get a small bag of groceries and then just find somebody that the Holy Spirit has and give it away to them. And when they ask you, well, why are you giving me these groceries? Share the gospel with them.
Come
share
on.
Jesus with them or whatever. So he has all these different things for 30 days to do. Now, this is a grace thing. You know, I don't know. Will I make it every 30 days? I don't know. But the bar is high and I'm just excited for the challenge. And so I just wanted to make that announcement, let you all know about it, because it started with our school of ministry. We're all doing that. But I want to invite anybody who wanted to do it. If you want to do it, just if we're not friends on Facebook, go ahead and friend me. And then when I receive your friend request, you know, send me a message and I can add you to the group. And then we can get started tomorrow morning.
So starting right now.
Yeah.
If you're here today and you don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
It is a great day.
Come to know Jesus. And we would love to pray with you. If you really do want to just surrender your life, even if you've given Jesus your heart maybe years ago and it's just a day that you're really wanting to give him fresh surrender,
yeah.
It's a great day.
Yeah.
It's a great day. So we'll be up here to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. We just want to bless you guys. May the Lord bless you, keep you,
yeah.
Let his face shine upon you, give you peace and rest. In
yeah.
Jesus' name,
yeah.
Amen. Be blessed. Yeah.